Hello and welcome back. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So I hope that you are all doing well and staying magical during this really intense eclipse cycle. I don't know about you, but many of my clients and I have begun to feel a bit more energetic and clearer after the last full moon eclipse and the fact that we're kind of in that waning and releasing cycle. So we had the full moon eclipse on July 5th, and now we're in that waning cycle until actually tomorrow when the new moon in Leo arrives on Monday the 20th at 1:32 p.m. Eastern. And this is really bringing us into that fire energy to kind of inspire action after we've been in a more restorative kind of rest, observe, consider phase, especially being in Cancer season and that waning moon. So I got some really good questions this week for July's Ask Cardzi B segment, but before I get into those, let's take a look at our cards for the month. We're halfway through July. We have two more weeks left, and we have this month that Cancer-ruled Chariot as our first card, which comes in like Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball, which is why I chose Miss Miley for this card when I was illustrating the deck. And the Chariot's really a card of victory, and it leads us towards success after a lot of work and contemplation has been done. July is really the time, especially the second half of the month, to move forward on things that we may have needed the first part of Cancer season to really feel and contemplate and assess. And Cancer, when we think about it, is represented by the crab. And, you know, the crab symbolically has that soft, intuitive inner with that hard exterior shell. And since June through early July appeared to be us really going into that inner part of Cancer, where a lot of us were stepping back, we were going within, assessing the situation before we made any big moves or decisions, July from this point forward kind of represents that outer, harder exterior portion of like, all right, here we go, we're going to move forward. And for some of us, that's kind of like armor up. Like when we think of the Chariot, it is a vehicle of success, but there's some armor around it when we come into that strength of moving the Chariot forward. So we also, for our second card of the month, because I always do the first card, astrologically based, Chariot ruled by Cancer, Chariot is the 7, July is the 7th month. And then the second card based on the 2020 January 1st overview poll. So the card that we got when I did the annual poll on January 1st of this year was the moon, but reversed. And I've said this before in going through July that I really like this card reversed more than upright, because it indicates that we've actually been facing and working with the fears and anxieties, and been able to see in that process, like see that a lot of the things were maybe past fears or illusionary beliefs, which don't really hold true anymore. And those discoveries are just very freeing when we come to terms with the fact, like, okay, I know why I feel that, or I know why that's coming up for me, but does it really hold weight in the now moment? For a lot of us, no, it doesn't. So the moon really kind of brings that clarity, especially when we were able to use a big chunk of Cancer season to go into it, to work with it, to look at it before we had to, make decisions or were driven to action. Now let's look at our card of the week. Four of Cups. All right. So Four of Cups in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck shows this mofo sitting under a tree, like he's chilling, and he has these three empty cups in front of him, and his arms are crossed while a fourth cup is being offered, and the fourth cup is like coming out of this hand appearing from a cloud, seemingly out of nowhere in the sky. And when I was a kid, I remember thinking that this weird cloud coming out of the hand coming out of this weird cloud was like Super Mario-esque, of like, oh, this doesn't really make sense. And as I got older, I realized that this kind of is symbolic of a chance opportunity. And the guy's posture seems to be, you know, with his arms crossed as this is being offered and extended, seems to be him saying no. Like, I see it, but no, I don't really want that fourth cup. I already had three and I'm good. astrologically, this card is ruled by the moon in Cancer, which when we think about that, like divine feminine lunar energy that rules Cancer, astrologically speaking, it's a card of contemplation. And some people say this is like a moody energy. It's kind of emo energy. But that's kind of often the reversal of Four of Cups, is that full on Cancer moody emo energy of withdrawal, retreat, maybe some angst. Whereas I like the upright, because the upright Four of Cups to me is more like, okay, let's think about this and let's only say yes to what feels aligned. I feel like all of us are becoming more discerning and more in touch with what feels right for us individually in this time. My best friend joked that I am the energetic equivalent of Canada's border control right now, aka I'm energetically strict AF, and I will not let anything through that does not feel good. And I loved that. I was like, I shall take that as the greatest of compliments, because, you know, if something doesn't feel aligned, I just now I'm at a place in my life and, you know, discerning enough after everything I've come through that I just politely decline. And I move forward without excessive apologies or excessive explanations. And in the deck that I created, I drew this card as Kim Cattrall, because she, it was kind of a big thing in pop culture at the time, a few years back. She unapologetically declined making a third Sex and the City film. And despite, you know, all the monetary and publicity she would gain from doing that, she still just very simply said, you know, no, this isn't where I'm headed in my life right now. It just was not in resonance with her. And there was something about that I loved. And I know, I mean, think what you will of Kim Cattrall. I don't personally know her. I know some people are like, oh, she's a bitch. She was mean to Sarah Jessica. Who knows? But I liked the onus of that decision. And that's when I was like, that's the ultimate Four of Cups energy. So this week, Four of Cups reminds us to listen to that inner GPS, whether it's regarding a social invitation, whether it's regarding a work opportunity, or maybe another circumstance that just feels a little off. And if that's the case, it's okay to decline. And this isn't always, some people like to be like, oh, this is a no card. That means no. To me, this isn't a yes, no card. It's kind of not as is. It can be a yes and card versus a yes card. But, you know, it is okay to decline if it feels like, no, that does not feel in alignment at all. It's also okay to request that the terms of whatever is being offered to you be adjusted so the opportunity feels right for you to proceed. I recently... I'm, you know, signing a new lease, and I was like, I don't feel comfortable signing 12 months anywhere. So I was like, I found a great space, but no, it was a Four of Cups moment in that where I was like, okay, but it wasn't a like, okay, no, it's not perfect. So no, I was like, I'm going to ask, can you do a short term lease? And in fact, they could. So a lot of times when we stand in our power in Four of Cups of like, that doesn't feel right as is, we can get what we're asking for. And if not, then that's kind of the indicator that it wasn't meant to be. The Four of Cups, they say, is the card. It's been taught to me anyway, when they, like, who are they? Usually the Order of the Golden Dawn or, you know, Pamela Smith and Waite are the people that I reference when I say they, but in what I've studied through Tarot of the Bohemians and kind of the old school teachings, this card is referenced as the that which is for you cannot go by you card. So if it's meant to be and you say no, it'll probably loop back around, or you say, hey, those aren't the right terms. What about these terms? Chances are you're likely to receive them. All right, so I hope that's helpful this week. Let's look at our questions that came through. So I'll take this one because many people asked, and it's kind of going along the lines of Four of Cups a bit. A few people DM'd me, people emailed me freaking out, are you leaving New York City? And the answer is yes, I am leaving New York. And it is, there were some Four of Cups moments in the finding my way through that. And it's also a very bittersweet Eight of Cups decision for me. It's been an incredibly challenging time to be living in Manhattan. And I realize that's such a cliche thing to say, as it's been a challenging time in the world for everyone. But you know what, you know, we're here at the quote unquote epicenter of the virus. There's just been a lot of darkness, for many reasons in this city. And I did my best to power through March, April, May, doing my grid work, doing my walking meditations, and the eclipses that started in that beginning of June new moon really shifted something in me. And I love New York with all of my heart and my soul. And it's almost like a person to me in the love that I have for this city. But as my shaman and dear friend Christopher Beaver, who he's been on the podcast a couple times, one of my great friends in this lifetime and great teachers and mentors, he often explains in shamanistic terms that life occurs in cycles of birth, life, death, decay, and then we come back to birth again. And the city is currently very much in the death, maybe we're now moving into decay, part of this cycle, and it's heartbreaking. 50% of Manhattan residents have already left permanently, and this is shown in the New York Times and the news by people's forwarding addresses. So 50% already cleared out, and I'm sure many more, myself included, on the way out. When I did just a personal assessment of who in my life has left, 22 of my New York City-based friends have relocated just in the past 4 months. I think it also, like, it's hit me when people have wanted to come here. For example, my mom offered to visit me in July, and I told her I didn't want her to come and that I would rather, I mean, not, it wasn't that I don't want to see her. I definitely want to see her. She used to come and we would, you know, hang out in the city and I would take her out to dinner and plays and we would, you know, go shopping and just enjoy the city all the time. She would come probably like once a month. And she said, well, now that the, you know, things are loosening up with the sanctions and the quarantines, I'll come visit you in July. And I was like, no, I don't, I'd rather come visit you there. And I realized that New York feels like a very, very sick relative. And I don't want people to even visit me because I don't want them to remember New York like this. And it's almost like a very sick relative with, you know, also dementia or Alzheimer's that's just lashing out in pain and being very cruel to its residents in some ways. And I don't want, I still love New York with all my heart, and I don't want people to have this memory of the city. And honestly, if the universe provided an option for me to stay here for a reasonable amount of money, commensurate with the state of the city, I probably, yes, I would have taken it. And I would have taken that as a sign that, okay, that means I'm supposed to stay here. This is my station as a light worker, and I'm supposed to continue to hold this frequency for the city of New York. But the current prices are still reflective of New York City and its peak golden years, while the conditions are honestly equivalent of the Hunger Games District 12. And I'm struggling to have enough energy to maintain my frequency alone, let alone continue to do my work in order to be able to afford to live here. On those prices. So it was a very hard decision. And for once in my life, I didn't just Aries rising react, which is what I'm known to do. I stopped and I really listened to the universe, and albeit with many bouts of impatience, every time I would go to sleep and I would ask for signs in June, I got the equivalent of like when you're stressed out and you're pushing a pedestrian, like you want the green light to cross the street in a crosswalk. And I don't know, for those of you who are in cities, that you push that, like, okay, I want to cross, and you're impatient and you keep hearing, wait, that's literally what the street signs say. And that was what I was getting from my spirit guides, from the universe, was just wait. And then doors continued to close here. You know, my rent increased. They were not willing to negotiate a reasonable month-to-month term. They wanted to raise it by 40% if I wanted to go month-to-month. And, you know, just doors were closing and closing here. And then I had an almost amazing offer with a friend of a friend. And then his building wouldn't allow me to do it. And I was like, wasn't meant to be. And he felt so terribly, such a lovely soul, and was like so incredibly apologetic. And I was like, you know, it wasn't meant to be. That's fine. And that's just that in itself is a direction and a sign from the universe. And while this was happening, many other things drew me to temporarily relocate to Pennsylvania. And I am more shocked than anyone. I am shocked. If you would have told me at the beginning, the beginning of 2020, end of 2019, that I would be even temporarily moving to Pennsylvania, I would have been like, peace out, and jumped off my roof deck. But I actually have been guided to do this, and I'm very excited to spend time with my family that I love. And my niece is just so magical, and it's such an interesting point in her life and her journey. So I am going to embrace it. I am both terrified and excited for this next chapter. Like I think I said in last week's, I'm looking at this as going on tour. I think I might go to Florida for a little bit in the winter after Pennsylvania. We shall see. And I realized in talking to a lot of clients and other healers that a lot of light workers are getting new assignments and new stations right now. So I'm you know, up for preparing for mine. If the universe is like, okay, this is you're now getting stationed in Pennsylvania for a couple months, I accept that and I will work with the energies. I truly, truly hope that this city, that New York, is reborn into something even more beautiful, even more magical. And when it is aligned, I'll return. I also think it's appropriate that this is all occurring in Leo season. You know, Leo rules the strength card and who oversees the Eight of Cups. And the Eight of Cups is all about walking away from something you really love, but knowing that it's for your highest good. All right, so that answers that, which many of you have asked. Our second question, a little less heavy, from @MysterAstaire. Do you get your ingredients for all of your potions and elixirs as pre-existing teas? And what ratio do you use regarding your mugwort evening drink that you referenced in last week's episode? Oh, thank you for this. I'm actually working on a bigger project with my potion and tonics and elixir recipes. So because many people do DM me or email me through the website, and so I'm happy to get this question. To answer this, the first part of your question, do I get them as pre-existing teas? I do not. I buy all of my herbs as pure herbs, whether in dried form, which I get from Physical Graffiti in the East Village. She sells both herbs and teas. I love her. I also like Flower Power. I honestly like Alana at Physical Graffiti. She's a little bit better, just more personable, just like really great at describing everything and really kind. And she was open through the whole pandemic, and I just want to support that. So anyway, Physical Graffiti, spelled T-E-A, and she sells all of the dried herbs. Unless you're lucky enough to get some fresh herbs and dry them yourself, I occasionally can do that from my friend Carla's garden in Long Island. She grows mugwort and sage, and it's awesome. So I do use that when I'm able to. But in terms of the dry herbs, I make about 1 teaspoon of the herb per cup of water. So with mugwort, I often make several cups and refrigerate this in a glass container in my fridge. So for the nighttime lucid dreaming elixir that I talked about last week that helps kind of open up your third eye, remember your dreams, I use 1 cup of sparkling water as the base. You can use still water. I just like bubbles. The water is also that, you know, it's the element of intuition, emotion, empathy. And then I do 1 tablespoon of elderberry syrup. I like the Gaia brand for this, which you can get online. They also sell it often at Whole Foods and like healthy grocery stores. But there are several different elderberry syrups. I just personally recommend making sure that they're organic and there's no weird additives or preservatives. Elderberry is medically known for boosting immunity and antioxidants, which are good in this time, as always. And metaphysically, elderberry helps purification and intuition. Because when we think about it, when we purify and get the toxins out of our body, it allows us to get more in touch with source, universe, our spirit guides through that third eye chakra. And then the mugwort part of it, mugwort is medically good for inflammation. If you use it on the exterior of your body, it's inflammation of the skin. When you ingest it, it's great for cramps, for women, for menstrual cramps, anything that causes inflammation in the internal body it helps with. And metaphysically, mugwort is awesome for anything third eye based, lucid dreaming, astro travel, psychic awareness, and also helps you to remember your dreams. Mugwort's ruled by Venus, which I always associate. It's, you know, the Empress card is ruled by Venus. So it's a lot of Empress and divine feminine vibes in mugwort. So I make the tea of 1 tablespoon to, I always said a cup, but I mean 4 ounces, like a teacup size. I make the tea and then I chill it. And then I use around 1 to 2 ounces of chilled mugwort tea with my sparkling water, with my elderberry. Then the next thing I add is about 8 to 10 drops of lavender tincture, depending on lavender strong. So depending on how you like it to taste, you can use more or less. And you can also make your own dried lavender tea as opposed to buying the tincture. And so for that, you can just, again, brew it as a tea, or you can combine lavender with mugwort dried herb to make a combo tea, in which case I use 1 ounce of each herb or 2 combined. And lavender is associated with calming and relaxation. It's also ruled by Mercury. So think of the Magician card, which is ruled by Mercury, bringing out new messages because you're able to relax. You know, the Magician, it's finding power in stillness, really, is kind of lavender in a nutshell, with the Mercury Magician and kind of the chill relaxation of lavender. I honestly, I make this almost every night instead of a glass of wine, and it really has helped my dream work a lot and remembering my dreams more than I used to. So if you're interested in working more with herbs, I recommend, I think I've said this before on the podcast, but I really, my favorite book is Scott Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs. It's awesome because this gives the uses, the magical properties, as well as the astrological rulings, which always help me because my mind thinks in like tarot and astrology. And I'm like, oh, okay, I know what the power of that will be based on the astrological ruling. Okay, our next question we got was from @AquarianDawn. Hey, Cardsy, I'm just now learning the astrological rulings of the cards, and your podcast has been really helpful in understanding these and how they relate to each card. The one that I'm really hung up on is Leo as the ruler of strength. I've always perceived Leo as outer fire, whereas I think of strength being an inner tranquility and peace. What are your thoughts around this card's ruling? Hey, Aquarian Dawn, I love your name. I love Aquarians, and my mom's middle name is Dawn. I love this question, and this is one that I have had to wrap my head around and when I started learning the astrology of the cards as well. Some people argue that the astrological rulings, because they're assigned by the order of the Golden Dawn, like way, way, way back in the day, can seem a bit arbitrary. Some people say they're inconsistent with what they know of astrology if they've studied astrology first. I hear all of those arguments, and like I think they're warranted, but I do find a lot of validity in the assigned astrological ruling. So that being said, I agree with you that strength offers the message of a calm, intrinsic, peaceful strength or inner knowing rather than like an aggressive demonstration. Thus, that's why we see the woman kind of gently petting the lion. And I always think of how Leo's with this, how it relates to Leo is because Leos are known for exuding like a genuine confidence. If you know any Leos, I was married to one. Madonna's a Leo. There are a ton of like a disproportionate amount of how like very, very high proportion of Leos in the entertainment industry and public figures, whether you love them or hate them, good or bad. They have achieved a great level of success. And to do that, that takes an enormous belief in oneself and kind of that inner knowing and authentic confidence that is then later translated to the outside world. I always take this Leo energy as of the strength card as starting on the inside, i.e. we see like this woman's kind of calm inner knowing so that it can then be translated to the outside, i.e. the kind of gentle calming of the lion without force. That's just my perception and kind of how I made it make sense in my mind with strength ruled by Leo. So I hope that's helpful to you as well. All right. So we have one last question for this segment coming from @PartnersInCrimeVintage from Toronto, my second home. Hey, Cardsy. We're so sorry. This is so funny. Hey, Cardsy. We're so sorry about the border. We hope you come back to Toronto soon. Anyway, my question is, I've been hearing a lot of spiritual teachers and healers, including you, talk about the transition from 3D to 5D. Can you explain how tarot is a tool for understanding this concept? Yes, I love everything about this question. I especially love and thank you for the support from Toronto @PartnersInCrime. I really, really hope to visit as soon as possible as well. And the last I heard, the border is now closed to 2021. So that's heartbreaking. But again, trying to go with the flow, see where I'm headed on my tour. Hopefully it's Toronto soon. We'll see. Anyway, okay, excellent question. And I love closing with this because this is a deep one. So when we think about the theory of moving from 3D or the third dimension, which is very material world based, existing in blacks and whites of this is right, that is wrong. This is the truth, that is not the truth. My way is right, your way is incorrect. That's very 3D polarized thinking. And then we move through the bridge or transition of 4D to 5D, the fifth dimension. And that's all about being able to hold space for many truths and existing in unity rather than division, existing in love, choosing love over fear. And this is very analogous to learning tarot. And I do find tarot such a powerful tool in understanding these concepts. So when we think about how most of us probably first looked at a tarot deck, for many of us, I mean, I think back to my childhood, and it's funny because I always say, like, when you're a kid, it's like learning a language. You probably are somewhat more open to the intuitive side of it because your mind hasn't been trained in the matrix of all the rules and regulations. But for many of us, when we started looking at tarot, especially as adults, we see what the card is on the surface. For example, the sun is this happy baby with lots of yellow. Okay, the sun card is good. Noted. The death card shows this grim reaper dude with all this black and skulls, and we're like, eek, death card is bad, that's a very 3D way of assessing tarot and of kind of how you feel about it. And for those of you who are readers, you've probably read for people that the moment they see the death card, or they're like, ah, that's terrible, or they see, you know, nine of swords, and they're like, ah, but as we learn and as we grow in our tarot practice, we actually start to access the many aspects of tarot. Some of us will resonate more with the astrology or the numerology aspects, others with like the Kabbalistic aspects of tarot. But for most of us, we just begin to feel and trust what pops up to us. And also, we know that there are many, many layers and many truths to each card. For example, we understand that, yes, the sun is warmth and abundance, but the sun also sheds light on things that are in shadow, which can be very jarring, often painful when it happens. And we get that, yes, the death card is both endings and beginnings, you know, holding a lot of darkness, but also holding light on the rebirth other side of that. And that's totes 5D thinking when you think about it. So I hope that that's helpful. That's just a little soundbite on tarot and how we can work with that, the process of tarot to kind of work with how 3D to 5D works. But if the 3D to 5D ascension is something that really interests you, if it's something you've started to kind of understand and you wanna learn more, you wanna, you know, understand more about outside of tarot, I definitely recommend checking out Phil Good and Elizabeth April, both of whom speak beautifully about this. So before we head out, let's just quickly recap our cards of the week. We're halfway through July, still working with that chariot, bringing in some well-deserved wins and just some motion forward after probably a long pause or a stall. This month also brings us the moon reverse, which is rewarding us for all of that shadow work that we likely did throughout June, and bringing in clarity and signs that are probably going to come through, and often in dream work. So again, pay attention to your dreams. And this week we pulled Four of Cups, reminding us that it is okay to politely decline or request revisions to things that have come up that are just not in resonance, not aligning with us. So a couple of announcements to close out as usual. I'll be quick. I know last week I missed my Instagram Live Monday. Because I am going to be leaving New York for a time, I'm doing a little bit of a farewell tour with the two remaining friends I have on the island and trying to soak up as much in-person time with them as I can. So I will be here this coming Monday, 7:30 Eastern. Get your questions ready for a free live mini reading. I also still have the BCBG Tarot Scopes up at BCBG and my free tarot class available at Modern Sanctuary. I'm going to be doing a few more charity collabs coming up as well. I'll keep you posted. All of that will, as usual, be on my Instagram. I'm also looking forward to my niece helping me set up TikTok. I have TikTok. I never use it. She is 13 and Gen Z, like, you know, they're the best at this stuff. So she's going to now be maybe my official TikTok manager. So look forward to a Cardzy B TikTok happening sometime in the next couple of months as well. Thank you all so much for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.